An 8-year-old is the sole survivor of an A330 crash in Libya. A pilot walks away from a forced landing in Colorado. And the White House says, no, we're not spying on New York. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, May 13th, 2010. Witnesses say an Africa Airways Airbus A330 disintegrated while landing at Tripoli on a flight from South Africa yesterday morning. A security official used the word exploded, but at this time it's not thought to have been a bombing. Libyan Transport Minister Mohamed Ali Zidane said the plane, quote, broke up massively, unquote, as it landed about 6 a.m. local time. There were 93 passengers and 11 crew members on the manifest, and the only survivor is an 8-year-old Dutch boy who was confirmed to be undergoing treatment at a Tripoli hospital. Officials have set about the discouraging task of notifying next of kin. Watch our website today for updates at aero-news.net. A 54-year-old pilot from Wellington, Colorado, who asked not to be identified, was at the controls of a Burkutt kit-built jet-powered canard based on a Long EZ on Sunday when the engine suffered an uncontained catastrophic failure at 7,500 feet. The Loveland Reporter Herald reports that the pilot turned back for Fort Collins Loveland Municipal but didn't make it there. He landed in a private field, skidding about 200 feet through a fence, across a road, and into an embankment. Miraculously, he walked away uninjured. A witness said the plane's right wing appeared to be broken in half. The plane was issued an airworthiness certificate in August of 2006. The pilot was not the builder. An investigation is underway. The White House and the U.S. Department of Defense both insist that spy planes were not used in the hunt for Faisal Shahzad, the man who allegedly tried to detonate a crude bomb in New York's Times Square. Longstanding U.S. policy known as the Posse Comitatus Act forbids the military from domestic operations. It hasn't always been obeyed, however. RC-12Q aircraft were used to intercept cell phone conversations from the Beltway Sniper in 2002 and were flown over the Olympic Games in Salt Lake City. But Wired Magazine reports that, in this case, Deputy National Security Advisor Benjamin Rhodes says, quote, the actions described simply did not take place, unquote, referring to reports that U.S. military assets were used after Shahzad's trail was lost. The act does have exceptions. The military can step in to assist in the apprehension of drug runners or in the case of potential nuclear, chemical, or biological threats. Restrictions also do not apply to the Coast Guard or National Guard. And given today's technology, would we even be able to see violations if they were taking place? Record rainfalls in the central part of the U.S. pushed the Cumberland River out of its banks last week, which inundated the Cornelia Fort Air Park, a general aviation field just across the river from Opryland. 20 airplanes are reported underwater, and a parts warehouse holding $1 million in inventory was reportedly crushed by a landslide from an adjacent hillside. Local aircraft mechanic Jerry Shepard told the Tennessean, quote, the water rose so quickly that it was already over the runway before anyone knew they had to get the airplanes out, unquote. He added that some of the planes they did manage to get to higher ground then floated away. The timing is especially bad. The airport has been for sale due to financial difficulties, and total damage is estimated at $2 billion. Up next on ANN, the American Barnstormers Tour provides Young Eagles flights. E-Green finds the perfect test pilot. And NASA's JPL has an open house this weekend. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster, You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing from May 13th. I'm Paul Plack. Young people in seven Midwest U.S. cities will get a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to fly in vintage aircraft this summer as the American Barnstormers Tour joins the EAA Young Eagles program. In each city, up to 15 young people per day will be selected by local EAA chapters to fly in vintage aircraft manufactured in the 1920s and 30s during what we now call the Golden Age of Aviation. They'll add their names to the list of 1.5 million young people provided introductory flights free of charge by EAA members since 1992. The dates are all in June and July, and cities include Mason City, Iowa, T, Watertown, and Aberdeen, South Dakota, Bismarck and Jamestown, North Dakota, and Alexandria, Minnesota. Find out more about the tour at AmericanBarnstormersTour.com. eGreen Technologies, developers of state-of-the-art technologies for mid, high-altitude, and heavy-lift airships, announced Tuesday it has hired Alan P. Judd to be its chief test pilot. Captain Judd has been involved in aviation since 1966 and with airships since 1986, when he signed on with Airships Pacific. He now makes his home in Florida and has served as an FAA-designated pilot examiner for lighter-than-air for the past 7 years. eGreen CEO Michael Lawson commented, quote, "Because our airships are a considerable advancement in airship technology from anything that has ever existed, we felt we needed a top-flight chief test pilot that had the experience and skills to guide these ships to market," unquote. eGreen's Bullet 580 is a multifunctional airship aimed at a variety of markets including communications relay, missile defense warning, surveillance, electronic countermeasures, and weapons platforms, as well as geophysical surveys. The Bullet 580 is designed to carry a payload of up to 1,000 pounds at 20,000 feet and fly at speeds of up to 70 knots with a cruising speed of 30 to 35. The companies which merged to form eGreen last year have already successfully built and flown 14 prototypes in order to test new inventions, but the Bullet 580 is the first airship to be put into production for commercial use. EGT has planned an inflation test of the ship next week on Wednesday at the Garrett Coliseum in Montgomery, Alabama. The first test flights are scheduled for this summer, with Captain Judd at the helm. Lots of aviation facilities hold open house events in the springtime, but few like this one. NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, will throw open its doors for a close-up look at JPL's past, present, and future this weekend. Hours are Saturday and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The event is themed Worlds Beyond and features displays and demonstrations from numerous space missions and a first look at JPL's recently renovated Von Karman Visitor Center. On special display will be the Wide Field and Planetary Camera 2, built by JPL and retrieved from NASA's Hubble Space Telescope last year. It's on loan from the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum. It's the camera that captured many of Hubble's iconic space images. The address for JPL is 4800 Oak Grove Drive in Pasadena. Admission is free. So is parking, but that's limited. Get more details at nasa.gov/JPL. Still ahead, Bali Aviation will pay a $2 million fine. He's got electric boots, but no mohair suits. And some people just aren't careful with Twitter. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, May 13th. I'm Paul Plack. A U.S. federal judge has ordered Bali Aviation, a subsidiary of a firm based in Britain, to pay a $2 million fine after pleading guilty in an aircraft export conspiracy. KING-TV in Seattle reports court papers indicate the company conspired to sell three Boeing 747s to Iran in 2007 and 2008 without obtaining the proper license from the U.S. government. Bali pleaded guilty to the charges in February. Along with a fine, the company's been placed on probation for 5 years. Becker Avionics, which last year signed a deal for service of its products in the U.S., now has a sales rep in South America. The company says it will be repped through Redimec, based in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Redimec specializes in rotorcraft, which may be a hint at Becker's marketing plans, given recent STCs for its VHF comm radios in helicopter applications in Canada. Would you go to the airport wearing electric shoes with switches on the sides? Me neither, but that apparently didn't occur to Faiz Mohammed. He tried to board a Thai Airways flight to Muscat for business. He told investigators he'd bought a pair of electric massage shoes at a market in Karachi and that he'd worn them to make his feet feel more comfortable during the hour-long flight. CBS reports the shoes are described in the media as Good Vibrations Therapeutic Vibrating Shoes. They come with a battery charger, for which the shoes have a plug on the heel, and an on-off switch on the side of the shoe. But Pakistani screeners had never seen them before. They had to travel to the market where he bought the shoes to verify his story. This apparently was not a rapid process. He was arrested at the airport on Sunday, but not released until Tuesday. And finally today, Paul Chambers is a British guy who got mad when his flight from Robin Hood Airport near Doncaster was canceled due to snow in January. It was threatening to delay his flight to meet a woman he'd met through Twitter, whose alias was Crazy Colors. He posted a tweet that said, quote, Robin Hood Airport is closed. You've got a week and a bit to get your, insert common bovine fecal reference here, together. Otherwise, I'm blowing the airport sky high, unquote. He insists it was, quote, innocuous hyperbole, unquote. As you might imagine, in this day and age, authorities were not amused. According to the Times of London, authorities seized his mobile phone, laptop, and home computers. The court was told that police printed 460 tweets posted by Chambers over 8 days in January. They included some crude language that got some laughs in court, but one, sent a few hours before the bomb threat, told Ms. Colors that he had decided to resort to terrorism if the airport didn't reopen. Chambers was convicted Monday of sending a message by means of public electronic message that was grossly offensive or of an indecent, obscene, or menacing character contrary to the Communications Act 2003, unquote. He's been fined £385 and ordered to pay another £600 in court costs and a £15 victim's surcharge. The total is equivalent to about $1,500 U.S. He also lost his job as a company finance supervisor. We're not sure if he also lost the affections of Ms. Colors over the incident. That might tell us if she's really crazy. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Jim Campbell's conversation with Julie Clark from WAI 2010. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.